Most people don't appreciate what they have outside of New York City, as far as, like, you know, most Americans grow up with the white picket fence kind of situation, like backyard. I'm like, I didn't have a backyard until I was 30 years old.
Right.
I'm 35.
Wait, so where exactly did you grow up?
I grew up in Jackson Heights, Queens.
Okay.
In literally the hood in Queens. So it's like, I grew up in an apartment, never had a backyard. I didn't know what it was to have a backyard until I was 30 years old.
Right.
So people don't appreciate that in the rest of America. I'm like, oh, I hate my house. I'm like, dude, you had a backyard. Shut the fuck up.
Right. But like, would you say, like, net, you're still thankful to have grown up as a New Yorker, like, with the life skills that it taught 100%. You valuable enough to offset that?
100%. You grew up here, you run with wolves from, you know, birth. Right. You know, like, everything is a show, right? Uh-huh. Like, I mean, it's a constant grind and hustle in this city. So it's like, you can't teach people what you learned growing up here.
Right.
You can't.
What are the formative experiences you went through in your childhood that created the George Santos that we see today?
Lots of pain. Mm. You know, parents getting divorced, mom with two kids trying to make it, having financial difficulties. That was never fun, right? Mm. But that builds resilience. Like, at the age of 14, I was like, getting papers from school so I can go work to help my mom out with rent and whatnot, you know? Mm. So it's like, that builds you stronger to just, like, get, and then you just want to continue to, like, break the system. I hate the system. Mm. It's like, people like to say all the time, oh, George Santos beat the man. You're damn right I beat the man, because fuck the man, because the man runs our lives into the ground at all times. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, kind of that attitude that, like, you know, like, that put me into the places I aspire to go into, and then ended up in Congress. So.
Right. I mean, like, some people have been quoted as saying basically that, like, your real story is so inspirational and such a good story for a politician to kind of base their image around, that it's almost kind of baffling that you've had so many, you know, issues with kind of, like, fudging the truth.
If you knew what Long Island politics was like,
uh-huh.
If I walked in there and told, you know, the chairman over there of the Republican Party, like, hey, I'm a poor kid, you know, told him my story, he wouldn't take two looks at me.
Really?
Just look at everybody that he does put into office and people that they do. So there was a stupid decision, biggest regret of my life, is to listen to consultants and to people and say, fudge it a little bit. It's just for this meeting, or else you won't get the meeting.
Uh-huh.
And then that, you know, once you tell a lie, you either run with it or you just say it and never say it again. But when you say it in this format, it creates a consequence of, it gets repeated.
Right.
The chairman, like, oh, he's so accomplished. I'm like, oh, I got to keep going on with this.
Really?
This stinks.
So do you feel like an ability to speak about what the last couple of years of your life has been like that you maybe didn't necessarily have the freedom to speak on previously?
I still don't have the freedom to speak on.
What's right? holding you back?
Well, I'm still going through a massive trial in the Eastern District of New York. So it's like, it's like having your voice taken away from you in the most profound sense, where you can't even really articulate yourself without being misinterpreted and like, oh, we're going to throw the book at you, because, you know, like, so everything I say is taken out of either context, or people use it against me in the most bizarre way. It's like, I do nothing good in the eyes of some folks here. You know, I'm like the worst part of humanity.
So, I mean, there's a lot of different types of liars. There's, like, liars who kind of, like, will lie when it's just useful to them to get out of a particular scenario. And then there's people who are, like, pathological liars, where, like, we've all known people like this in our life who, like, they really just have no connection to the truth, and they're kind of constantly using this technique to, like, get out of situations. Like, from your perspective, it's more like this was just sort of like an accidental piling on of lies, like from some innocent white lies in the beginning?
I'll put it this way. Before I got elected to Congress, my reputation in New York was blunt. He'll tell you the truth to your face, even if it's like the worst thing on earth. It's, you know, like that classic question, do I look fat in this dress, from a girl? I'm like, yes, you look obese.
You were that guy.
Yeah, I'm still that guy.
Okay.
Right. The problem is that people don't know that. Right. So that was my reputation prior to getting elected. And then everybody's saying, like, oh, he's a pathological. I'm not a pathological liar. Uh-huh. I will tell you the truth to your face, even if it ends up me getting punched in the face. But at least I said what I said.
Right.
I meant it when I said it. And I said it when I said it. Uh-huh. And people look at me like, what? So that's kind of like the George Santos that people don't understand who really George Santos is because they just want to build on this narrative. I think most people in the public eye that have ever gone down a rabbit hole of allegations against them can relate, because once the media takes a hold, a foothold of some against you, you can't control that. It's like the complete full force of the mainstream media coming down on you. And guess what? Most people would have caved and put their tail in between their legs, resigned, and went under a rock. I'm not going to do that, because I'm not going to let no people, you know, these elitist white privileged people in the media put me down at and build their careers at my expense. So I fought them back at every single turn, and I continue to fight them back till this day. I was in court yesterday against Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy didn't show up, hides behind corporate lawyers. I showed up.
Yeah, what's going on with the Jimmy Kimmel thing?
Oh, Jimmy Kimmel's fraud. He's not funny. He's absolutely not funny.
But that doesn't land you in court, right?
Oh, it does land you in court when you commit fraud.
Okay.
Right? So Jimmy Kimmel went in and hired under false pretenses and a bunch of cameo videos with these bizarre scripts. Now, here's the reality. This was like day three of me being on Cameo with over $200,000 worth of cameo requests sitting in my queue. I'm just reading through this shit like, I don't care. People are weird. It's America. One size does not fit all. So let's just go roll with the punches. Oh, you want to be a furry? You want to be called a, what is it, a beaver? Sure.
What's a beaver?
I don't know. Ask Jimmy Kimmel.
Something
you know?
With like a beaver's.
I guess. I don't I think it's a beaver and a platypus or whatever.
Oh, like that. Okay.
So or that, right? Yeah. So it's just like all this insanity. But here's the deal. It would have been funny if these were real cameos for real people. But it's not funny because Jimmy created this.
They sent in the cameo request and then they lampooned it on the show.
Exactly, which creates the false pretense. Fair use is when something's organically done, but it's not fair use. And it becomes fraudulent activity when you, A, create an alias to defraud an individual, to then take that and then try to claim fair use on it. But in reality is you orchestrated the whole goddamn thing. It's it's IP theft, essentially, right? Wow. And then he also violates copyright law, which is federal law. Then he violates the Cameo's terms of service and licensing agreements. It's fraud. Fraud. So I'm loving to bring the heat to Jimmy Kimmel because nobody ever does.
Right.
He sits there and he trashes every single person that's a public person on whatever he feels like doing and to no consequences. He walked around and found out the wrong person.
Right.
So I'm so excited. I was in court yesterday. Let's see what happens now.
Are you a believer in the Matrix that Andrew Tate's always talking about? And is Jimmy Kimmel part of the Matrix?
I do not know about Andrew Tate's Matrix theory, so...
I mean, it's kind of like a catch-all phrase for everybody in the sort of establishment, left-leaning world that has kind of... Really, I mean, he's kind of got the same treatment of you as you have, regardless of, like, who's innocent or guilty, in terms of, like, they really like to, you know, pile on somebody and use that to create a narrative that the right is dishonest and immoral, et cetera, right?
Look, Jimmy Kimmel is many things. I don't think he has the wherewithal or mental acuity to be part of anything sophisticated because he's that stupid. I wouldn't give him the credit. So if Andrew Tate gives him credit, that's on Andrew Tate. I don't give him credit. And it's funny because one of Andrew Tate's lawyers is my friend. So I should be brushed up more on Andrew Tate stuff, but I'm not. But as far as the left hypocrisy towards the right, it's very simple. Where's the left right now on P. Diddy? It's like radio silent. Oh, war. Look over there. Don't look at P. Diddy and the cabal of insanity. No, Justin Bieber comes out talking about how he was sexually assaulted at 15. Nobody's talking about this.
Right.
You know, like, who's being protected? Because if you think P. Diddy's at the top of the totem pole, you're just as stupid as the next guy.
Who's at the top of the totem
pole? I mean, there's so many speculations and theories that we can run through,
right? You've never been to a Diddy party?
Oh, I've never been to a Diddy party, so I've never been fondled.
Your eras didn't really, like, cross over appropriately. But, like, no. I mean, who's being quiet about P. Diddy that should be speaking out about him?
I haven't seen Jay-Z or Beyonce say diddly shit about them.
Yeah, but
that should tell you something.
That's like an alliance that they have. And also, it's been rumored that maybe Jay-Z was... part of some of these
top
parties.
Of the pyramid.
I don't want to hear that. Like, personally, I'm not a fan of that theory at all. He's too important to me in my childhood.
I get that.
Yeah.
Beyonce's too important to me in my childhood. So I don't want to think that. You know, like, I've been to so many Beyonce concerts, I've lost count, right? But when you start to think of it, I never thought Harvey Weinstein was going to be the ruthless pig he was, or Bill Cosby. Right. Dude, America's dad. Like, that's Bill Cosby. So all cards on the table. I'm not making accusations against Jay-Z and Beyonce, but they've been awfully quiet.
Right.
Like,
but they're awfully quiet about everything.
Eh, that's not true. They have an opinion on pretty much everything.
Kanye has been like a nonstop subject of media attention for the last however many years, and Jay-Z like blatantly does not like the guy and didn't go to his wedding, but still he's never going to speak out about Kanye because I feel like there's a sense of like, you know, black unity that they're trying to push. I don't think Jay-Z wants to be instrumental in taking Ye down.
Really? Yeah. I don't see
black
that.
Black Illuminati, right?
Yeah. I don't see it. No. Sorry. I don't think it's a thing. I do think Jay-Z talks shit about Kanye because it's been done in the Hamptons. That's the only time I catch up with these crowds is when we're in the Hamptons all in the summer and we all run into each other, same circle, same part, small tight community, right?
Right.
In the party circuit. So yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr. can easily be seen partying around the Hamptons. I've been in parties with him. So to that extent.
Is he out of control?
Who?
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, he's a fun time.
He had the KFC bucket on his head and then yeah, this big crazy lawsuit. I guess he was groping girls in the club and shit.
Oh, look, tomato, tomato. I don't know. It's not my game.
That's his business, yeah.
It's his business, not mine.
Right. So, okay, you're a big Beyonce fan. Who's better, Beyonce or Taylor Swift?
Today?
The Taylor Swift album came out last night.
Today, I say Taylor Swift.
Right.
I mean, I've never seen somebody do $1 billion a concert before.
Right.
So she did.
So. Okay. But in terms of like overall artistry, who will be remembered more fondly?
Taylor Swift.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, all you got to do is try and find out. Date her, fuck her, and then she'll write a song about you.
I know.
It's a legacy
the
she builds.
The great fear that we all have is that we might accidentally
end up having sex with Taylor Swift.
And become part of the song. Would you be able to have sex with Taylor Swift?
No.
Not even for the media coverage?
Oh, maybe. I just thought about that. Maybe.
I mean, a Blue Chew will get you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
yeah, there yeah. you go.
When did you realize you were a gay man?
I was married first.
Oh.
So I was married to a woman.
And that was you lying to yourself or did that you not really know?
No, that was me trying to hide natural urges and try not to disappoint mom and dad kind of. You see, both my parents are Brazilian.
Uh-huh.
There's a very machista culture
right.
in Brazil. Like being gay is kind of dangerous in that country. Well, I grew up here. My parents, little I knew, had such an open mind about it, you know, but I was married for a couple of years. I mean, on paper, it looks like I was married 9 years, but in reality, I was married like 3-4 years,
uh-huh.
3.5 years, 4-ish. But then it took another like 5 years to actually finalize a divorce because I came out to her. I'm like, you know what? I can't do this no more. I had sex with your best friend, a gay dude.
Really?
And I
that's how it ended?
That's literally how I bought it up. And
whoa.
Like,
was that you just acting out like you wanted it?
No, that was just me. Like I had reached my limit and I didn't feel comfortable to what I was doing. And this is somebody who I actually really loved in a sense, but it just, I guess it was in a different way. So.
I mean, dating women sucks. Like I kind of understand why you would want to opt out at a certain
point. You're downtown Manhattan. There's a lot of options out there if you're interested.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of homosexuals around here. I might have to check that out. What are the hot spots around here?
The Village.
Really?
The Village, Chelsea, Hell's Kitchen.
Is there a cruising scene out here?
I wouldn't know. I mean, I'm not very sceney. That's that's something that about me. I'm not very sceney.
I watched a video from 2006 of George Michael like vehemently demanding that he be able to cruise and have public sex with people without being followed by the paparazzi.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
That's absolutely amazing.
Are you a Wham fan?
No, I'm not. I
really?
Don't. No.
Damn, I'm starting to feel like I'm gayer than you are.
I've heard that before. Especially at my congressional voting record. Like, are you sure you're gay? I'm like, yeah, I'm gay.
Right.
I'm gay. I'm not stupid. I understand finance, right? And and you can't keep spending money like we just saw today. $100 billion more is going to go to war.
Right.
We're going to fund two sides of war. We're going to fund the oligarchy of Eastern Europe.
Right.
And we're funding a peninsula that if really the Chinese want to take over Taiwan, there's absolutely nothing we can do.
But what does that say about us if we just let Russia take over any country that they want to?
I know. Well, they already started, right?
Right.
In Obama's presidency, Crimea.
Right.
Bush's presidency, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
So why is it so outrageous now that they're like in Ukraine if they've already gone in Ukraine and we didn't go to war or fund war, right? During the Crimea takeover, during the Georgian takeover. So look, it's all tomato, tomato. It's all just Congress is bullshit. Those people there, those 435 people, take advantage of every single American's heartstrings, whether you're on the left or the right. They pull to your heartstrings to make you feel like they represent you. Mm. They're representing their own self-interest. It's about money in their pockets. It's about who they're going to in the lobbying world and which lobbyist is going to give them a steak and wine at the end of the night, every night that they're in.
So you were horrified by your time spent in Congress?
I completely hated the culture around it. It was garbage.
Really?
Not what I thought it would be.
What do you think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be lighthearted. I'm idealistic. So I went there with like ideas, right? Let's fundamentally change this country to get us back on track. We need to pay down our debt. We need to improve education in inner cities. We need to give Black and Brown Americans opportunities. The Opportunity Zone scam is a scam. I'll give you an example.
What's the Opportunity Zone?
Well, that's when they create opportunity zones for minorities to be able to invest and grow wealth and, you know, come into the forefront of, you know, opportunity. Uh-huh. Do you know where they put the Opportunity Zone in Southern Florida?
No.
In Aventura. It's the most Jewish-focused population in South Florida. Now, nothing wrong with that, but you're not attracting Black and Brown people to go invest in Aventura. They're unable to compete. They're in the middle of, like, essentially the deepest pockets
right.
in Southern Florida.
But I feel like a lot of people on the right wouldn't really be on the same page with you in terms of wanting to, you know, micromanage and create opportunities for underprivileged Black
That's
and brown
people,
right?
That's absolutely not true. That's the narrative, because guess what? Democrats are masters of messaging, and Republicans suck.
Right.
They don't know how to message.
I kind of feel like when I look at the presidential landscape and everything, that it feels like the Republicans are masters of messaging, and if anything, the Democrats are totally... Not because I can't find somebody who is kind of like on my level politically that still wants to like publicly say positive things about Joe Biden. I feel like, and even myself,
it's embarrassing.
I feel like I can't vote for him because I just saw him say that he wants to see WNBA players get paid the same as NBA players. Like that was a pivotal moment for me where I'm like, am I really going to go vote for this again?
But I'm going to ask you a question. Is it so wrong to have the women in basketball get paid just as much as men? I don't see a problem with that.
I mean,
I'm not saying it should be by design. Like, oh, I don't know.
The league is worthless, right? Like, it's being propped up by the NBA. If anything, they should be probably paid less.
I agree that it's virtue signaling.
Right.
I get what you're saying, but I don't see anything wrong if the league builds something and there's actual attrition to it and the populace starts to engage in the WNBA and like, oh, they're doing great. This is entertaining. I see no problem with them getting paid equally, you know?
Equally?
I'm not saying equally or having the opportunity to get paid equally.
I mean, they're getting, a lot of these girls are getting like 100 grand a year, 80 grand a year.
That's kind of up.
Well, but I mean, they're essentially creating a product that is almost entirely worthless and it's just being propped up by the other side of this business, right? Like, I feel like, and Joe Biden tweeting that, I feel like the vast majority of Americans see that. And
how much is a top NBA player getting paid today?
You tell me. $10 million a year is like way more than that? $100 million a year? I don't know.
Probably
somewhere in between. Why is YNW B Slime here?
Yeah,
hello, B Slime. How you doing? This is George Santos.
The way I look at it is you have men getting paid millions upon millions of dollars a year.
But in the free market,
we're giving women 90 grand.
That's their value that has been determined by the free market.
Says
right?
Who?
The people who are paying them that
I get it.
Definitely are not paying them more than they have to.
I get it. But are you saying that the WNBA, I'm not making the case here. I don't believe in this like blanket equal income for everybody. I think you earn your income
right. And
you're worth what you put out. Mm. And if you're telling me they're putting subpar play out, subpar entertainment out, then you're not going to get paid. If sponsors aren't flocking to you, and if they're only flocking you because of virtue signaling and DEI, which is in itself segregationist, I think you around and find out. So like I have mixed feelings. Like I'm very libertarian when it comes to this stuff because I don't think one size fits all. It's all bullshit.
I feel like those girls are getting paid pretty much like in every case, they almost certainly have managers who are negotiating on their behalf and they can't negotiate more because they're creating a product that doesn't really turn a profit.
But then Megan Rapinoe gets paid millions and millions of dollars.
Is that like an actress or something?
No, the soccer player.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the one with the colorful hair.
Do people watch women's soccer?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty popular, right?
Yeah.
So the WNBA should probably focus on that, like making people give a shit about what they got going on. If anything, I feel like it's getting a lot more attention lately than it has.
Well, because of people like Joe Biden talking about it.
Well, there's a little bit of that.
And we're doing it. We're contributing to it here, too.
Yeah.
They should send you a check.
Definitely. No, I've seen, I have friends who've, like, gone and filmed YouTube videos at WNBA games, and it's a sad sight to be seen. Because they play in these big-ass arenas, and there's nobody in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of
sad. It's almost like the Knicks playing here in New York these days, then.
Nobody cares about the Knicks? But the Nets are that popping?
I don't get it either. Are they?
The Knicks are good.
Right now. Yeah. I haven't seen them win a championship. I'm 35. So.
What's it like being a gay man who's a Republican? Because the stereotype is that the standard Republican class wants nothing to do with your
kind. That's not true.
You don't think that?
That's bullshit. That's totally bullshit. Some of the top influencers on the conservative side of the spectrum are gay. Scott Pressler, Rob Smith, myself, Brandon Strock, David Leatherwood. Known as Brokeback Patriot on social media. Like, the dude's like a troll, right? Mm-hmm. We're all gay. None of us talk about being gay. Right. You know why? It doesn't matter.
Well, because it's bad for your
No, it doesn't matter. Hell no. The entire world knew I was gay and I got elected. Mm. You know, like I went into an election in a conservative suburban district and I got elected overwhelmingly.
Right.
Being gay.
But the Republicans, they're a big tent party. Like, they're going to take in the gays. They're going to take in the alt-right guys.
Good.
They're going to take in the Nazis. Let's go.
I don't know about Nazis. I don't know.
But they don't exactly do a lot to disavow the Nazis either, right?
I did. I mean, anybody who has Nazi tendencies, I'm the first one to say, F*** you. Mm. So I don't know to say Nazi. I'm like, yeah, we have a very right conservative leaning of the wing of the party, and most mainstream media have placed me there for the simple fact that I vote conservatively, right? Fiscal issues. Oh, George Santos doesn't support DEI in the military. No, DEI ain't gonna win wars.
Well, how do you not support it in the military, but you're kind of supporting it in the WNBA?
I don't support it. I'm just making an argument for it.
Yeah,
you know, like you gotta be devil's advocate if you're gonna be in public discourse, right? But the way I look at it is, it's, look, Congress, you want to take the biggest bullshitter you know, they don't come to the foot of a congressperson. Like, they don't even measure. You can conjure up the biggest bullshit artist you know in your life. You can't, any low-ranking member of Congress can beat them in heartbeat.
But you got to give it to the Republicans that it felt like they were kind of slow to oust you. It feels like the Democrats probably would have been eager to do so, right?
I suffered multiple attempts at expulsion, censorship, all sorts of stuff. At the end of the day, the reason I got ousted and I was expelled was because Kevin McCarthy was removed from the speakership. Uh-huh. And at that point, instead of having my back, which he did have my back, because it was the right thing to do, right? Allegations are not convictions. What the ethics committee did is bullshit.
Right.
I mean, the chair of ethics is the most unethical member in the House. But he chairs ethics. Uh-huh. Who's policing him? Nobody.
Right.
You know what I mean? Nobody. His son's a bad drunk and drug user and is assaulting police officers in Tennessee. He's calling up journalists and other members of Congress to try to put a lid on the story. So don't let it come out. Don't let it come out. We'll do whatever it takes. Like, offering exclusive interviews to journalists in lieu of not reporting facts. Where's the ethics?
So because you didn't have necessarily the same deep roots in the party, you think that they were...
No, McCarthy, quick to get rid of you? McCarthy was ousted. Mm. McCarthy was mad. McCarthy didn't move a finger to tell his people, hey, don't do this, it's stupid. Quite frankly, there would have been an incentive to weaken the new speaker, because then it's reprisal to everyone who voted to oust him. And it's also reprisal to be like, you see, without me, you guys are falling apart. And it's true. I was expelled. Three other members retired, McCarthy included. It's falling apart. It's falling at the seams. It's like quite amusing to watch.
Right. What is your personal level of celebrity like when you walk around the streets of Manhattan? Like, is it overwhelming, or is it
overwhelming depending on time of day and
location. You've had a lot of different looks as well. Like, there's a lot of different versions of George Santos, like, that I thought was going to be showing up. Like, you kind of give off a different energy in a suit rather than...
I know, right?
Today,
oh, really? Did I do too casual? I could have.
No, I think it's great. Oh. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know that to the average person on the street, they're going to necessarily read you as George Santos.
They don't. Yeah. So when I walk around more casual, it's harder to clock me.
Right.
The moment I'm in the sweater vest, which is all winter long, in the summer, they have a harder time identifying who I am because I dress completely different than how I'm pictured often, right? Mm-hmm. So in the winter, It's more chaos energy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not wearing a suit to your podcast.
Right, yeah. You gotta play for your market. So what do you think your future might be in politics going forward? Like, could you see yourself being like a podcaster, a media personality, if you don't actually end up in office again? Or
I'll be back in office. That's inevitable.
Oh, okay.
That's inevitable because I want to, and everything you put your mind to is accomplishable, right? So long as you dedicate yourself to. And B, I'm definitely going to be doing some media for the shorter term period. That's definitely where I'm going, direction I'm going. People seem to want to hear what I have to say. Every podcast I go on or everything I do with, I did a Z-Way podcast. I don't know if you know who she is.
Yeah.
Dude, that blew up.
Right.
And people still call me today to talk about that podcast. And,
right.
And every other subsequent podcast that I've done.
You didn't have any complaints about how she treated you?
No, she wasn't prepared. She was totally unprepared to interview me.
Right.
Because she thought she was just going to come for me. And she didn't realize she was coming for a gay man that's witty and that's going to clap back. And I clap back at every corner that she turned. And you could see her face. After the interview was done, she's like, wow, that was interesting. I'm like, yeah, you weren't ready.
Right. You're like the rare person that managed to get one over on her.
I think I was like the first person to ever get one over on her.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
Because she clearly was speechless in her own show.
I'm not going on that shit.
You should. It's fun.
I feel like it's a little too much. It's too much of a setup.
She's a character.
Unless you go into it with a planned routine, basically, on deck that is going to kind of overpower whatever she's coming with.
You should do it.
That's what I did. They control the edit. So it's like you're already kind of out of
editing. Editing was on her side, and I still had a bunch of one-overs on her.
Yeah.
They couldn't even... Editing couldn't beat me.
So we have something in common, which is that I believe that we both have spent time with Michael Dougherty.
Oh, my God. You know Michael Dougherty.
I do know Michael Dougherty. Do you want to see this photo shoot that we did together a little while back?
Michael Dougherty was my constituent, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
How did I miss this? How did I miss? What did this lead on to any? Did this escalate?
I'm gonna be real with you. This was an April Fool's prank. I basically announced my debut doing gay porn.
That's hilarious. And but you chose Michael.
I was throwing them off the scent. Yeah. Well, actually, Mitchell, my publicist, who you know, I believe he helped to arrange. That was like his choice. Later on, I started to feel like maybe a black guy would have been a little bit more viral because I feel like that's what my audience would.
But then he's a twink, right?
Yeah.
So that image alone is disturbing.
But how did you guys end up spending time together?
Michael was my constituent. I've been going to his dad's glasses store for like years to get my contacts and my reading glasses.
Mm.
So it's like I didn't meet him until a friend in common is like, oh, you know, Michael Dougherty, this and that. And then conversation got going. I'm like, oh, my dad owns Cheaper's Peepers. I'm like, oh, shit, that's the spot in my district that I go to for glasses. And then they're like, oh, that's funny. Have a lot of friends in common. So I did his podcast that he launched.
Okay.
Michael Dougherty's an interesting kid.
Really?
His brother's even more interesting.
Are you attracted to him?
Not at all.
Not your type?
Not at all.
What do you go for?
Not at all. My husband's Brazilian. Totally not at all.
And how long you been together?
6 years together, 2 years married.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how has he handled the last year of your life?
He hates all of it.
Really hates it?
He hates all of it. He wants me gone from public, the public
Does
spotlight.
Put a strain on your relationship?
Well, no, because he's very... He trusts that I always have a plan.
Uh-huh.
And it's very simple. Every time he says, I want you out of the public spotlight, I'm like, all right, guess no more bags for you. He's obsessed with bags, right? So, and when I say it, he's like, go, you have an interview to do, go, just do your thing. Like it's tongue in cheek, but the reality is he supports me and he has my back. And that's what I think everybody could aspire to have in a relationship.
So you're buying him bags. So are you kind of like the more masculine presence in this relationship?
Totally.
Okay.
Totally. But not that there's a difference there, but like, you know, some dudes wear bags these days. What can I say? My husband's one of them.
You're the top and he's the bottom?
I'm not getting into that with you.
Okay. I didn't know if that was like a normal
I'm definitely
question.
Not getting into that with you.
I'm just trying to paint the picture like in my own head. I want to know what's going on, you know? Like straight people are very curious about this sort
no,
of thing.
No, trust me. I know. I get that question asked quite often.
Do you really? Oh, I'm thinking usually, I'm like a shock
jock
saying
that. It's usually straight people who ask me that question too.
Yeah, I mean, we all want to know what's going on behind closed doors. But is that kind of like real taboo to talk about that?
I'm just not giving you that for free, but you can subscribe to my OnlyFans when it launches.
Really?
Then we'll talk about that.
And you're planning on doing the full thing on there?
No.
No, right?
No, absolutely not.
Maybe just some topless pics or something?
Yeah, something like that. Really? Show your moobs.
Moobs. Holy shit. Okay, so I wanted to say, I wanted to ask, there's a lot of conversations about young people and people of color and, you know, perhaps the hip hop world kind of turning to conservatism Whereas if you think back to, you know, the election of Donald Trump, it felt like Kanye was really at the forefront of this, of saying positive things about Trump, and he was absolutely destroyed by the mainstream media and the hip hop media.
So was the
a lot of that feels like it's kind of out the window now at this point. Like,
well, he pardoned Lil Wayne,
right? And Kodak Black,
and Kodak Black, and then remember
got ASAP Rocky out of what was it, Sweden, when he was going through all that shit.
What's I forgot her name now; it escapes me. But rapper here, female rapper here from Manhattan, she has that song 212. What's her name? She was really out strong for Trump in the very beginning. And then she kind of pulled back because she suffered cancellation, mm-hmm. right? But now I think she's right back on the Trump train, and all these rappers are back on the Trump train. You know why?
Right.
It's common sense. Like, Biden has left Black Americans. Remember when he said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't Black?
Right.
First of all, that's offensive. Second,
I feel like that falls in line with all the other like nonsensical statements that he's constantly making, right?
But then again, like, are we just going to make excuses for a man who called every Black man a super predator in the 90s? Mm. This is who Joe Biden really is.
That was a different time politically, right?
But do you believe all Black men were super predators in the 90s?
I don't, but I think we were in a political climate where like people really wanted
candidates
who were going to be hard on crime, right?
Yeah, I get it, but... To
but I don't think he said that every Black man was a
He said that on the House floor. No, he said that on the Senate
everyone,
floor.
Everyone? I mean,
he literally said, no, he said every Black man is a potential super predator. That's on the record from
okay.
90s.
I might have to do my Googles.
Here's what I'll say about Joe Biden's history. Joe Biden has a history of being racist. Mm. Joe Biden is no walk in the park for the Black community. He's never done anything to advance education in the Black community. He's never done anything to do anything better for children, for single moms. All they care about doing is keeping people exactly where they are. Here's your benefits, here's your housing, but we're not going to move and progress you forward because that gives people knowledge. And knowledge shows people the bullshit that they're being spoon-fed by, oh, here, live in your subpar, subhuman conditions in a New York City public housing apartment with intermittent hot water. Well, look, the boiler broke. We can't really fix it, but we're going to give you space heaters. Oh, the gas line is eroded because it hasn't been replaced in 40 years, but we're going to give you induction top so you can cook. So here's
but you're really telling me that the Republicans are going to in some way make this better?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
I'll tell you very simple. When Bloomberg ran the city and Giuliani ran the city, public housing in the city was actually in order. People had dignified lives. Maintenance was regular. It wasn't until de Blasio, who entered into a public-private partnership to better things, essentially lining the pockets of all the special interests that he owed favors to, and the Clinton faction of the New York City politics owed favors to, that Black Americans in projects like Queensbridge and Ravenswood in Queens, which are arguably two of the largest public housing projects in the country, live in subpar, subhuman conditions. Roach infestation, bed bugs infestation, rats crawling outside walls. Dude, it's just gross.
But okay, if we found 100 Black Trump voters, I feel like we're not going to hear anything like what you just said. We're going to hear strictly about culture war issues, which is where the right seems
because
to be
stupid.
Really kind of winning.
Because the right doesn't know how to talk about management. The right doesn't know how to message. When I say Democrats are masters at messaging, they're masters at messaging real issues. Republicans are good at messaging high-level issues, border, crime. That's all Republicans know how to message on, right? Democrats know how to message on everything else. If Republicans get elected, you're going to lose your housing, which is a lie. Mm. Not one person loses housing when Republicans are in office. The only difference is housing works better, and we also adhere to the program, you know, hey, you can't make this a way of life. This is a lifeline, and this is a springboard to get you out of poverty, but you got to go to workshops. You got to take classes. The city, the state, the government will pay for you to better yourself so you can go get a job, go independent, and get the hell out of the system so that the next person that needs it in open space so that person can go through the system. But the system is not supposed to be a way of life. That's what Republicans enforce. Democrats won't enforce that.
Do you think that the city as a whole is kind of behind Trump at this point?
I think
the tide has turned.
When you see Donald Trump going into Harlem and people are excited to see Donald Trump in Harlem, right. I mean, that speaks for itself in my
opinion. It's kind of shocking to me to see people within hip hop, even just the other day, DJ Academics was at Mar-a-Lago interviewing Don Jr. and everything. Almost no negative feedback from the mainstream media and stuff. It's like people have lost the capacity to care about people fraternizing with the Trumps, and compare that to 2016.
What are you going to Mar-a-Lago?
The only thing. You know, I could, I guess.
You should. Like,
but what kind of conversation am I really going to have out there? I don't know that I'm really needed in those sort of conversations.
But your
audience.
I also
don't know what I'm doing here. But.
Well, how about this? How about this? Bring your audience to see what it's like, because there's a stigma that Mar-a-Lago is a bunch of white elitist cabal that's just plotting on the racial cleansing of this country.
Right.
Which is bullshit.
I mean, I've always felt like the assertion that Trump was this like vehement racist to me is just like that's the card that they shouldn't be playing, because it's really, really hard to make that argument, and I don't think that the average American black person is like falling for that.
I hate to say it this way because I'm not trying to be a Joe Biden and stereotype black people, but black people are predominantly overwhelmingly more incarcerated than white people are, mm-hmm. in this country. That's fact.
Right.
Do you think trying to throw the book unjustly at Trump is going to resonate in a negative way with black Americans? No, because almost every black American has been touched by the Justice Department in a biased and unfair prosecutorial manner. So when you look at Trump and what they're doing to Trump, this becomes relatable in a very bizarre and profound way. Like, it's exactly what they did to my dad. It's exactly how my uncle ended up doing 20 years unjustly. We're running a Senate candidate here in the state of New York for U.S. Senate, who put a man behind bars illegally by fudging evidence and withholding Brady material for 20 years. The city had to pay. The city of New York and the NYPD had to cough up money to make it right to this man after he served 20 years.
And you blame this on the Democrats?
No, I blame this on a bad cop Republican.
Who is it? So we're going to do
Mike Sapricone.
Okay.
Look it up. This is literally, this problem isn't just Republican and Democrat, it's everybody. Mm. But to think that resonates with the people, it's absolutely ludicrous in my opinion.
Right, definitely. I heard Candace Owens putting forth this argument that like Sexy Red is basically like a psyop operation to be able to kind of, really like degrade the moral fabric of our young people. Do you feel like hip hop has that power?
I think hip hop has the power to do whatever hip hop wants. I think hip hop is culture. I grew up with hip hop culture, right? Mm. I was wearing the baggy jeans, the Rockaway, and the Sean John shirts. Like if you look at pictures of me in youth, I grew up in as I say, in the hood in Queens. It's like, it's not Southside Jamaica for sure, but it's definitely the hood in its own merit, right? So I went to public school. So I very much used hip hop in that era, like where R&B, Ja Rule, that kind of culture, 50 Cent was coming up and doing his thing. So that's my childhood. And it helped me have an outlook in life that was totally different and contrarian than maybe a prep school student would have, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was listening, I was jamming to the same songs most people were at the same time. But you would take one good look at me, you'd never imagine. Like if you go into my playlist, you'd be like, what? You listen to Charlie Baltimore and Ja Rule, Down Ass Bitch, probably one of my favorite songs, you know what I mean? So like that's kind of like George Santos, like 1.0 New York City, like roots. And I think that came to me because of the hip hop movement. Mm-hmm. And I think the hip hop movement has the ability to do whatever you guys want. Probably the largest cultural artistic movement on earth.
Right.
It's hip hop. Mm-hmm. Like we all bond with, you know, whether it's pain, the reality of the shit show that the world is, but through that artistry, I think it's so important and it's so profound.
But there's a lot of people on the right trying to push the idea that, you know, all hip hop or much of hip hop is basically, you know, degenerate behavior being put out on records, and that, you know, people like Sexy Red are kind of destroying the moral fabric of our society. You don't really go for that?
No, I'm not a prude. I'm not clenching to my crucifix and clenching to my Bible. Nothing against religion there, but to give you a metaphor, right? Because I think we need to allow people to live and let live and do what they want. And it's the same people who do that are also the same people cheating on their wives in Washington, D.C. Mm. It's the same moral compass of that, right? It's like, oh my God, that's a sin. Jesus doesn't condone that. But then they bend over a lobbyist and in the corner when nobody's looking, and his wife's at home, you know, raising their kids.
Mm.
Rules for thee, not for me, kind of.
What rappers right now resonate with you?
Today?
Yeah.
It's like the same ones.
Oh, so you're like, old school?
I'm like, I, I haven't experienced, I'm not going to tell you, like, obviously I've changed as an adult and I've changed like a lot of my ways. Like, I still jam to old songs, like Kanye Monster song, like it's kind of one of my favorite songs out there too. But that's old.
It's a classic. Yeah.
It's a classic. It's like old.
10 years old at this point. Yeah.
You get it? It's old. It's like, I don't think there's anything new. I mean, there's nothing really new out there. Like, I'm from the era of like Little Kim hip hop, right? Like, I appreciate that style hip hop and rapping more than I do kind of like the newer stuff. A lot of the newer lyrics too are just so shallow. They lack depth. They lack relatability because it's all about like, look at how rich I am, and I'm just gonna throw money up in the air and smoke tons of weed. Back then, you had actual lyrics that played to your life, and you're like, oh shit, that happened to me. You can relate. I feel like that's been taken away a little bit.
But we got to get you turned on to all these YouTube channels that break down the different beefs, so then you can listen to the drill music and actually understand about the politics that they're trying to.
Could be. There's a lot of, as I call, militants also in hip hop, right?
Right.
Through music, there's a lot of militants on like, let's go this way, let's go that way, or they're preaching essentially an ideology, which is great, right? Because I see most of it as conservative. I mean, look, I've tried to make this correlation years ago, and people said that I missed it, but I still think I'm right. When I see this like LGBTQ XYZ insanity movement trying to attach itself to Black Lives Matter, I said, this isn't gonna end well. Black people are conservative by nature. They go to church. Their mamas and their grandmamas take them to church and preach the Lord. You're not gonna bring all this homosexual jargon into their movement, and it's not gonna be okay. And then I've seen points where I was vindicated, where like Black Lives Matter is trying to do, and I'm saying Black Lives Matter in the sense of the organization, because I think the organization's corrupt as
right.
Okay. I'm saying, as in the words, Black Lives Matter. Every life matters. Yes, Black Lives Matter. You have a right to go defend yourself, your interests, like any other ethnic group or racial group or whatever. The only problem is that I've seen it where people advocating for the end of, you know, violence and discrimination against Blacks, and then all of a sudden all these rainbow haired people come on walking up,
right,
and they start like, be like, yeah, no justice, no peace. Like, hey, we don't fuck with you. I've seen those videos. Right. And I'm just like, oh, I love this, because I've been saying this for a very long time. And people say I'm crazy. No, that it's two in the same. I'm like, no, it's one in the same. No, it's not.
So you feel like the gay culture that you were brought up in and are enamored with, to some extent, that it's been kind of co-opted by the trans movement?
I'm going to just correct you there, because I am not enamored whatsoever with anything.
You don't like gay culture?
I cannot stand gay culture.
Really?
I'll tell you why. I'm gay. That's it. That's between me and the four walls of my bedroom. I don't need to push that shit on you. I have rights. I've never felt like any rights. I think I have, in my opinion, you and I have the same exact rights as men in this country, period. That who you sleep with makes no difference on your rights. The Bill of Rights covers us both equally, right? So all this nonsense of DEI and gender equality and all of this other stuff, it's just pandering for political bullshit. It's all garbage. Nobody has less rights than others. And now, as far as the trans movement, fuck yeah, the trans movement hijacked the gay agenda and has made it about an issue that, quite frankly, I don't agree with. I don't agree with transgenderism as being something that we shouldn't treat as anything else other than a mental health issue.
Really?
It's true.
So you can't take a trans person at face value when they tell you that they want to live their life as a woman?
I'll take them at face value, because I believe in your individual freedom, but I don't think the government should pay for your gender reassignment. I don't think the government or health insurance companies should be forced to pay for your all the litany of medications that you need in order to live the way, the unnatural way that you want to live. I mean, you take a trans person, trans woman, for instance, away from all her hormones, she'll grow a beard just like you. You know, you take same thing for a girl. You take all those hormone blockers, she'll start squeaking and talking feminine, and her boobs are going to just like poof, pop up. So it's just the reality.
Does this opinion put you at odds with a large percentage of the gay community, or is this like mainstream opinion of gay men?
This opinion is the opinion of the silent majority of the gay community that doesn't have the testicular fortitude to say it, and I say it on camera. But it's also the same opinion that you'll find liberals and conservatives meeting on this issue. Mm. Because essentially all the trans movement is doing now is encroaching on Title IX and women's rights.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
Yes, 3-year-old daughter.
Do you want your daughter in the same locker room as a boy?
No, I do not.
Enough said.
I don't want her to have to like compete against a person who went through puberty as a man in a track.
Oh, so you're making the case. Yeah. You're making the perfect case for Riley Gaines' lawsuit against the NCAA on Leah Thomas. Thomas is a man.
The left could not possibly find a worse cause to attach themselves to.
It's terrible.
Trans women in sports thing. Like that is such a losing proposal. They have to be willing to actually take up arms against that shit at some point, right?
They have to. I mean, Democrats in general have. It's that progressive caucus of 100 somewhat plus in Congress and you know, I want to say a third of the Democrat Party today in the country. That's the problem. Mm. They're the ones advocating for that. Leah Thomas is a man.
Right.
As in traditional saying, you would say in the Maury show, that's a man, Maury. Dude had a crotch packed swimming in the middle of a bunch of girls.
Right.
He stole the title. He stole the title from all those girls.
And I've sat and had conversations with a room full of trans women, and absolutely none of them were on the side of Leah Thomas.
Nobody.
And they're very much against like weird, freaky pronoun culture that we're pretty much surrounded
by at
this moment in time. Yeah.
Look at Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, yeah. God bless Caitlyn Jenner, you know.
Right.
Like, to live your entire life as Bruce Jenner, an American hero, and then become Caitlyn Jenner, that shit takes balls.
Right.
No pun intended, right? Right. But the reality is even Jeffree Star, who's a mega influencer, and there's no bigger megalomaniac than in the YouTube verse of podcasting than Jeffree Star, right? All that attention, all that fame. Jeffree Star straight up said that pronoun bullshit, that's insanity. I don't fuck with that. It's he and her, and that's it. All that other extra shit, people are just bored out of their minds in the lockdowns and just came up with shit. I do not conform to gender requests. Like, oh, I'm a they, them. No, you look like you're a he,
I'm
her.
Not doing that.
You know, like, I literally look at people's crush. Hey, it looks like you're a he.
Right.
Or I look at their boobs like, you look like a her. And I will not, that's offensive. I'm like, blow up, darling, because it ain't changing. You know, right. I'm not using gender neutral language. I don't even know how to.
Lil Uzi Vert wanted to be known as a them. At a certain point.
Who?
Lil Uzi Vert is like a very, very popular rapper. 100% masculine presenting. Has obviously never had any kind of like surgery or whatever. But apparently at some point he decided that he wanted to be they, them. And I had to actually tell my news team, we are not doing this. It is a he.
Demi Lovato.
We were going to say he.
She tried to do that shit. Now she's back to she, her.
I know.
Because it didn't work.
That was a bad look for that movement. For sure.
It was a very bad look.
Demi Lovato like just switching sides that quick. It's like, this makes it look like a joke to
It is a joke,
yeah.
But it is a joke. And if you don't think it's a joke, then you're asleep at the wheel. The whole day them non-binary bullshit, those people need mental health. Mm. That's what they need. They need a doctor. They need our healthcare system to be fixed so that they can be taken care of.
Mm. Definitely. Okay, I feel like we've kind of covered most of the stuff that I wanted to talk about. But, I wanted to ask this. When's the last time you dressed in drag?
I was 18 years old.
You're 18. Okay.
So that picture is 18 years old.
Okay.
So I'm going to be 36 this year. That picture was 18 years ago.
Uh-huh.
That one time.
Only once. What made you want to do it? You just wanted to give it a shot?
No, it wasn't only once. No. Okay. So I'll put it this way. As a kid in Brazil, in Carnival, we do the, like, for when we go out of Carnival, we do, like, a gender swap. So you can get pictures of me, like, in, like, my cousin's little skirt, and she's in, like, a dress shirt with, like, a little mustache painted. And we grew up doing this shit. Like,
okay.
Right? It's culturally normal. I will argue that at the age of 18, I took it a step too far, and I did that famous picture. And then people gave me a name and all of that stuff. But there's no history of me being a drag queen.
Okay.
I'd be... First of all, the brokest drag queen on earth. I had one look. One look, and I rented it. So,
really?
So that's kind of like the whole stigma there, but no.
Okay. I mean, I don't look down on you for that. I know a lot of people are curious about
that. I keep thinking I should do drag. Just to good people, but I just don't have the wherewithal.
Like the Republicans are kind of willing to accept you being a gay man, but then as soon as you dress in drag, that's probably where a lot of them are going to kind of find their limit.
I'll tell you, no. You know where the limit is? Is putting drag queens in front of kids. That's my limit. I love drag culture. Dude, I watch RuPaul's Drag Race when I have a chance. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched in a couple of seasons, but you know, to watch RuPaul's Drag Race is to be entertained. Mm. It's like Housewives on steroids.
Right. I never checked it out.
It's actually funny if you like get into the realm of it, right? And I plenty of straight friends who know it and like it, right? Uh-huh. The only difference is I like that as an adult.
Right.
I wouldn't let a kid watch Drag Race. That the innuendos of explicit sex that takes place in the jargon in the conversation. Nuts.
Right.
So it's like it's not for kids. It's adult entertainment. Have you ever been to a drag show?
I don't know if I have, honestly.
Or have you ever been in an event with the drag queen? They're funny.
I mean, in theory, I feel like the idea of a bunch of dudes wearing dresses is not really like totally inappropriate for kids, but as soon as there's any kind of like twerking or stripping or dicks
and
coming
splitting,
out, that is like unthinkable. Like how could that ever be okay?
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. Wow, you sound conservative.
Yeah. Well, I got a little bit of that in me, but
I think we all do.
Definitely. Okay. Wow. Millie's is here. We got a lot of crazy George Santos collabs happening right here. I got to get a photo of y'all together. But thank you so much for your time. I really
Absolutely.
Appreciate you
Thank
coming
you for
in.
Having me. This is great.
You seem like a pretty normal guy. It's making me question the portrait of you that I've seen painted. I don't know. Maybe are you? Do you feel like you're more at ease in front of the camera at this point? Or are you like?
I don't know. I've always been like this in front of the camera.
Okay.
Like for me, the camera's never bothered me.
Right.
It's like I told you in the beginning. I have to reclaim my voice, and I'm not going to stop because I refuse to allow the mainstream media, New York Times, with their funny, and I'll end it with this funny. The New York Times got a dyke and two homosexuals to cover me, right? Because then it couldn't be anti-gay or anything. So they bulletproof themselves by putting a dyke and two homosexuals to cover me at all times, because then they can write the most nastiest vitriolic shit and get away with it.
Wow.
So look, I'll put it this way. It isn't going to be the two twinks and the dyke at the New York Times that are going to define who I am.
Okay.
And I've said that to their face, and I'll say it to every camera that's willing to listen.
What you got against twinks, man?
I don't know. You like them, clearly.
Yeah, man. That's my boy right there. Ever since I found out we're Eskimo brothers, I've been feeling a little different. George Santos, thank you very much, man.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out. Like, comment, and subscribe. Let's go.